Happy Day of the Dead. My name is Jane Hash, and this is my podcast. My guest today has the same physical disability that I do, osteogenesis imperfecta. Her name is Catherine Clemitis, and she is an author, painter, and a jewelry designer. Before I start chatting it up with Catherine, though, I would like to take a moment to acknowledge the significance of today. Depending on what culture you were a part of and what your religious or spiritual upbringing has been, you may have heard today referred to as a Saint's Day, a Soul's Day, the Day of the Dead. Basically, today is a special day to honor all of our loved ones who have passed on. In addition to lighting candles to honor the memories of the loved ones who I have lost, I also light an additional candle for those who lost their lives just for being who they were.
In the cool of the evening, they used to gather, neath the stars in the middle circle near an old oak tree. At the times appointed by the seasons of the earth and the phases of the moon, in the center stood a woman, equal with the others and respected for her worth. One of the many recall the witches, the healers and the teachers of the wisdom of the earth. And the people grew through the knowledge she gave them, herbs to heal their bodies, spells to make their spirits whole. Can't you hear them chanting healing incantations, calling forth the wise ones, celebrating in dance and song? As the star today, Anna, Hecate Demeter, Kali, Inanna. Isis the star today, Anna, Hecate Demeter, Kali, Inanna. Isis the star today, Anna, Hecate Demeter, Kali, Inanna. And the ghosts came to power through domination, and they bonded in the worship of a dead man on a cross. They sought control of the common people by demanding allegiance to the Church of Rome. And the Pope declared an inquisition. It was war against the women, whose power they feared. In this holocaust against the nature people, 9 million European women died. And the tale is told of those who by the hundreds, holding together, chose their death in the sea, while chanting the praises of the mother goddess. A refusal of betrayal, women were dying to be free.
Us the vision to see through the chaos. gives us the courage. It is our will to survive.
Joining me today is Catherine Clematis. She's an artist and author, and she's here to tell us about her new book, Looking Up, Lived, Written, and Designed by Catherine Clematis. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So what inspired you to create this book?
Well, actually, this book started as my college senior project. So it wasn't really a thesis, but it was big enough to be a thesis. So formally it's not a thesis, but we called it our thesis because it was certainly a big enough project and stressful enough to be one. I went to school for graphic design, and I had always had an attachment to doing books. I don't know why. I guess it's because, you know, you come up with something tangible in the end. You know, it's not just a poster. It's something, you know, commercial and tangible, and I guess I just like that. And my teachers had always encouraged me to do something that, you know, they encouraged all of us to try and do something that no one else could do, basically. And so with me, they always said, you know, try and do something from your perspective. And originally it was going to be a series of posters, and then it was going to be an oversized book, and this is what it ended up being. For technical reasons and because it's what I wanted to do originally. It's come a long way since then. I finished it in March for my class of last year. And then after I graduated, I brought it to an editor and a publisher, and they picked it up, and there it is. I mean, I also think it's important, you know, though, for people to... people have no idea what it's like living like you and I live. You know, they can't know. It's not possible. And, this doesn't teach them exactly it, but it certainly helps, I think.
I really like it because, you know, it's a coffee table book with a lot mm-hmm. of photos.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're out in public, people stare. And
That's right. To
a degree... I get it. They can't help it. We don't look like everybody else. But what I've noticed is people injure themselves because they're looking at us.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's hilarious.
They're not watching where they're going.
Oh, I know. It's hilarious when they run into something. That's always the best.
Like
the kid that's following its mom like a duck, you know, and it's looking at you and it runs right into her legs.
Right.
Hysterical.
So what I love about your book is it provides ample opportunity for people to stare at you without injuring anybody.
That is true. Yeah, and I mean, it's also, you know, I have given them certain things that they're allowed to stare at. You know, it's not, mm-hmm. you know, your whole person, you know, it's, you know, I have, and also, you know, I try to show them what it's really like looking up, you know, because, mm-hmm. I mean, we're short,
yes.
You know, I mean, I have friends that complain, oh, I'm so short. And they're like 4'9", 5'2". And I'm like, you know, it could be worse.
Right.
You know, I think the words in the book are important, but I think the visuals are equally important, if not more. You know, a picture's worth 1,000 words, right?
Definitely. Now, you're also an artist, and you have your own business. What exactly do you do?
I do a little bit of everything. I started painting when I was about 5 because it was something that I could do, and I found out that it was something I was actually good at. But, you know, when I was younger, obviously, I couldn't do soccer and baseball and running and play at recess and, you know, all that stuff with my peers. You know, my parents, especially my mom, tried to find something, you know, that I could do, you know. And I took art classes from then on and gradually, you know, got better with each teacher. Yeah, so now I do a lot of pet portraits, you know, where people send me their pictures of their pets and I'll paint their pets for them. that kind of stemmed from the fact my parents are veterinarians. I have a pretty good clientele with that. And then as I mentioned, I went to school for graphic design. So I have a BA in graphic design. And I do like logo design and any kind of business print design, a little bit of web. And I also do jewelry design. So like I said, I do a little bit of everything.
I've seen some images of your portraits you've done of pets. Those are really good. I like those.
Thank you.
Which reminds me of a part of your book that I read. We have something strange in common. Well, you were talking about your fractures and how the fact that your parents are veterinarians, you had all the supplies to treat the fractures and how they were superior because those materials are lighter.
That's true.
When I was a kid, we would get materials from our town vet make my own casts. And everybody thought, you know, we couldn't tell too many people because as you experienced, you know, child services.
Oh, yeah.
Get involved. Those materials are lighter weight, they're cut smaller, and it's easier to custom make them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, vet wrap. I mean, I don't know. Do you know what vet wrap is?
It's
that stretchy stuff that sticks to itself. That's like my best friend when I break something.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it stretches enough that it provides enough support. And it's light. I mean, you can use, like, two layers of it, and it feels like the support of a cast. I mean, it's soft, so you still have to be careful, but the support's there, and that's what's really important. It amazes me that doctors still use fiberglass on OI patients, because when you use something that heavy, you're going to break something else. It's just, I mean, it's just the way it is, you know? And it just, with all the technology out there, and I mean, it's there in the vet world. All they have to do is transfer it.
Right.
It amazes me that that still happens.
Not that Leo's suggesting that if you have OI and you break your leg, you should go to the vet.
I agree. They'll treat you like a medium-sized dog.
Right.
And you'll be fine.
So, okay, you've written your book and you design jewelry. That's the other thing I read in your book. And you use some pretty pricey stones and things in your jewelry.
I mean, it depends on where you get them.
Right.
I try and be really reasonable with my prices. You know, I buy wholesale, so that helps. I don't, you know, a lot of jewelers will mark up their jewelry 300%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I'm lucky if I make, you know, half of it back. You know, I mean, I make it back plus a little bit of profit, but we're not talking, you know, I'm not unreasonable with that.
Well, you don't want to sell yourself short, no pun intended. I mean, you're using very high-quality materials.
That is true. And a lot of people don't, you know, I'll sell a necklace for $70 or $80, and they'll say, well, why, I can get that, you know, at the flea market, and why is that so expensive when I can get it for, you know, $10 at the flea market? Well, this is actually sterling silver, and it's real, and, you know, the luster isn't going to rub off your pearls because these are actually real, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And they learn eventually. You know, they go buy the cheap stuff, and it breaks, and then they come buy mine.
So is this stuff that you can do independently?
Not completely. Like, I see you're sitting up. I can't sit up by myself. Like, I can sit up in my chair. But I can't sit up, like, I can't hold, I don't have enough neck strength or head strength to hold my head up for a long time. Like, I can do it for about 5 minutes, but an extended period of time, it's just, my head's too heavy for my spine.
Is it because of spinal fractures you've had, or?
No, it's really more because of severe scoliosis, more than anything. I mean, my spine makes an S one way, and then it, like, curls in the other way. So it's both. And I mean, I swim a lot, and that really helps. And that does strengthen, you know, my back and my neck. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sitting up for a long time is difficult. So I do most of my work laying down, like I am now. Painting I can do basically by myself once I have my stuff. The state of Louisiana provided aids for me while I was in school, which was great because, I mean, that's, you know, a huge cost lifted off of us, mm-hmm. you know. And they, it was really good, but you're not talking about necessarily educated people. It can be really hard. It can be really hard dealing with that all day at school. So, yeah, I mean, they were always really nice, but just, you know, I mean, like I've had them fall asleep in my class and snore. Okay. I mean, you know, things like that. Like, that's not exactly what you want your peers seeing, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes nice just doesn't cut it.
That's right.
So you live independently or you live with family?
No, I live with my mom. My dad passed away in April. And so mom and I are still here. And mom is works all day. But yeah, we live together. It's good most of the time. I grew up, you know, like my parents always had a really strong work ethic. So, you know, I grew up with that, you know, in basically pushed into me no matter what was broken. So it was very rare that I was allowed to take off a day of school because of something broken. It had to be like really bad for me to stay home. And most of the time I didn't want to stay home. So on the days that I was made to stay home, you know, I was really mad about it. Usually. Not always.
I think that the part of your book that I found the most entertaining, maybe because I'm kind of twisted, is the situation with the dog cage in your parents' office.
Would you like to tell us about that? Yeah, when I was little, I used to have to go to work with my parents, and this is when they both worked in the same office. There was nobody home on Saturday, so I went to work with them. And, you know, it was interesting because it's always busy in a vet office. You know, there's surgery going on in one room, and there's clients coming in and out, and every once in a while a cat escapes, and, you know, it's chaos. And it's not a place where you want to be laying on the floor, you know, or in the way. And this office was not very big, you know, so there wasn't a lot of space, you know, a lot of safe places for me to be where, you know, I wouldn't break anything or, you know, get stepped on or run over or whatever. So we had these, or my dad had these three large dog cages that were stacked on top of each other. It was like floor to ceiling cages. And the middle one was like, you know, a regular person's chest height. So I loved being in it because I could see everything that was going on and I was safe. You know, I wasn't up. I mean, I wasn't down under people's feet. And, well, that went really well until one day I was back there watching, I don't remember, there was some surgery or something going on. And this lady comes in with this cat that I don't remember what happened to it, but it was dying and it did eventually die that day. And she walked back into the back where I was to see the cat because I guess it had, I don't remember if it had died by that point or whatever. But anyway, she walked back into the back and she saw me and she just looked and then she left. And we didn't, you know, we didn't think anything of it. That was normal for us. And she, I guess, called the police and said that there was a, I don't know if she said a baby or a child or what she said, but, you know, there was a baby or a child in a dog cage in a local veterinary office, and they need to go look at, you know, check it out. So the police come in. My dad had left town. My mom was in charge of the office. The police come in and, you know, start questioning the staff, questioning my mom, questioning the clients sitting in the, you know, in the waiting room. We had, obviously, I had to get out of the age. And we had people come and look at our house. You know, like they showed up and checked child services and questioned my age. And I mean, it was a mess. And this lady apparently told the policeman, well, I know that child has osteogenesis imperfecta because I don't know why she knew, but I guess, you know, she saw the triangular face or the bent arms or whatever. And she could stick her arm through the bars of the cage and break them. And I'm like, I was like 8 or 9. I mean, I think I knew by that point, if you stick your arm through the bar of the cage and you pull back, you're probably going to break it and it's probably going to hurt. So don't do that. You know, and it was frustrating because, you know, my mom says this all the time. If this lady had just taken 2 minutes to talk to me, she would have realized I was fine. You know, I had lunch, I had my toys, I probably had a kitten at the time, you know. So, you know, obviously, you know, she didn't do that. And yeah, so it was, I mean, it was a mess for like 3 months.
Oh, my goodness. Crazy. Now, they did not take you from your parents,
though. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Because
no,
many children do.
Yeah. No, we were lucky there. They just dropped in unannounced a lot at our house. You know, they would say, well, we'll be there in 2 hours, and they'd show up in 5 minutes. Mm. You know? So, yeah. It was crazy.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Catherine, for coming on the show and to tell us about your
absolutely.
Book. And I'll be sure to put a link to your book on my blog, and so people can go there to purchase it. Because I
That'd
noticed
be
it's available on Amazon, correct?
It is, yes. It's available on my website and on Amazon.
Okay, I'll be sure to put both links up.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That'd be great.
Thank you, and you have a great day.
Okay, you too.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws up, because you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends, so we can rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not. Whether you're broke or evergreen, your black, white, beige, Chola descent, your Lebanese, your Orient, whether life's disability.
liberties. Left you outcast, but leader teased. Rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this
no
way.
No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track. Baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, should I or Orient made, I'm on the right track. Baby, I was born to be brave.
If you live in California, please vote yes on Prop 37. Let's get the poison out of our food. Thanks for listening to Hash It Out with Jane. I'd love to hear your thoughts regarding this episode. Feel free to drop me a line at hashitoutwithjane@gmail.com. And be sure to visit my blog, which is located at thegimpavenger.blogspot.com.